Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Drive Time with Katie Hannan and Cullum O'Mungoyne on RTE Radio 1.
For decades, Christmas TV schedules were built around one old reliable, the big soap storyline. Explosive revelations, surprise returns, weddings, affairs, dramatic deaths. The festive episode was often the most talked about moment of the year. So, are Christmas soap storylines still the cultural event they once were? Have they evolved? Do they still pack the same punch? For more on this, I'm delighted to say I will shortly be joined by Nellie Conroy, who has played Sharon Collins in Fair City and been a main Christmas storyline herself, indeed. But first, I want to go to TV critic and broadcaster Scott Bryan. Scott, you're very welcome.
Evening.
Okay, so we had, you were listening to there, the theme tunes from EastEnders, Corrie, Emmerdale. They used to be absolutely unmissable, the Christmas Day episodes of those.
Yes.
When did that start? When did that become the thing?
I mean, I think that we've always had serial dramas as being as long as TV itself. I mean, Coronation Street, you know, really heralds back to the very early days of ITV as a network, you know, more than 60 years old. Before that, you know, the Archers, of course, down to the very early days of radio. So I think there's always been a desire for them. I think it's always the fact that at a time when there's so much change in TV all the time with new programs, I think viewers actually really do like familiarity. And there's also, I think, a common touch approach. Like a lot of very successful soaps have kind of links back to working class culture, really. Coronation Street were showing initially a depiction of working life culture that hadn't really been on TV that much. And you can arguably say the same with EastEnders, really. So I think it manages to permeate kind of British culture in a way that other shows don't really manage to as much. But you're right in terms of the fact that, you know, thinking 20, 30 years ago, you would be having sometimes on the regular, you know, upwards of 15 million for a high stakes around Christmas storyline. And now it's quite an achievement if you get maybe above five.
Do you think, though, because there was such a focus on this, the pressure to outdo themselves every year with a bigger and better storyline, do you think they jumped the shark too many times, really, with the offerings they put out?
I mean, I don't think it's so much about jumping the shark. I think a lot of it is about relevancy. I mean, I would say in our household, and I can only really speak about our household, I think we used to become quite cynical about some of the soaps because it really would be at the most festive time of the year, you would get a display of some of the most depressing storylines that you can imagine. And they would seem to revel in the darkest sides of humanity.
EastEnders.
One of their draws. EastEnders
in particular. Yeah. Okay, let's listen to a couple of the classics from the EastEnders over the years. This was when Max and Stacey's, oh my God, I do remember this one, when Max and Stacey's affair was exposed on Christmas Day.
Because the stupid, crazy thing is, I still love you.
I'm married now.
What, and you think all this, you think this is just going to go away?
Yeah.
It's a joke.
Yeah, Stacey, do you want to tell him, or should I? We set it up, Stacey and me, she was going to show Bradley on the honeymoon.
We just watched you snogging her face off.
Well, you thought that was real? Do you really think me and Stacey? I mean, Bradley, come on, what, you think Stacey's capable of that? Just tell him, all right? It's a joke, tell him.
I'm sorry.
Now listen to her, Bradley. You should know what she's saying, Bradley.
That's not what it looks like.
Get away from me.
I said sorry, Bradley. That don't mean anything!
How could you do this to me?
Yeah, there's that one. Of course, last Christmas, Gail Platt left Quarry after 50 years on the street. That was a big emotional exit for the show. But I think you have to go right back to the absolute iconic Christmas Day moment on the soaps, Den and Angie's divorce on Christmas Day. Let's have a listen to this.
Well, now the joke's on you. This, my sweet, is a letter from my solicitor telling you that your husband has filed a petition for divorce. It also tells you to get yourself a solicitor pretty damn quick. Happy Christmas, Ian.
Happy Christmas, Ange. That was a real moment because he had discovered that she had faked a terminal illness to hang on to him.
Yes, and that rating, I mean, for that storyline, quite unbelievable, 30 million viewers, I mean, which is some of the most watched TV in history, really, for a singular programme. I mean, I think it was because it was a culmination of a storyline, but it was also, I think, when that soap was at its peak. I think these days it's so much harder for TV to even reach that figure, I think partially because, of course, it's so fragmented. We can watch all forms of TV from last night to sort of 40 years ago. We're not just stuck with a few channels. But I think another factor is it's so much harder to get the next generation of viewers into soaps because serial dramas tend to air in the early evening, which is, of course, where younger viewers would watch with maybe their parents or with their uncles or relatives. But now, I think what tends to happen is actually maybe the kids are watching one show in one room or maybe on the internet whilst the parents are watching another show or older relatives a different show entirely. So it's much, much harder to get into the habit of actually watching them and therefore become appointment to view and see them every week.
Indeed. Nellie Conroy, can I bring you in now?
Hello, how are you?
Or should I say Sharon?
Nelly.
Nelly, you've been at the heart of a couple of very strong Christmas storylines. How far in advance do you know if you're going to be part of that Christmas storyline?
Well, you know if you're booked around the time in November when we film, and then you know what's going to happen around 2 weeks before. But you kind of have an inkling because a lot of the story's building towards Christmas, you know?
And as an actor in a soap, is this the thing you're kind of looking ahead on the script to see, am I going to be on that Christmas Day? Am I going to have the big moment?
No, I haven't done that. Maybe some people have. I haven't. I've kind of been in all of them. Two, I remember very strong storylines, and then just in and around the Christmas episode in the other ones. For my one, the first strong one was when Hayley discovered Jer was her real biological mother.
And not you. Not you. You're lying. You're lying.
I only found out 2 weeks before and I was like, oh my God, I'm not Hayley's man anymore. I'm raging. You take it personally. And then when I kissed Con Rafferty while he was going with Carol, he called round to my house. And I can't even remember why he called round, but he called round and we kissed. That was the start of our affair. So that was good. Exciting.
That's good. How hard is it? Like when say that the classic one was the one the Hayley storyline, yeah. The Hayley's mammy, not her mammy storyline. How hard is it to keep that secret then? Because that's a big storyline to break.
It's not that hard. Well, for me, it's not that hard. It's fine. Yeah, people don't tend to really ask you. Like they might say, "Oh, tell us what's happening," but they know you can't say it. Like, you know.
Do you feel like you've been playing Sharon for so long now, Nelly? Do you feel a bit a part of her, really? And do people kind of react to you as if you are Sharon on the street?
People are so nice. I think they're really fond of Sharon. I'm there about 7.5 years and there's such a fondness and people are so familiar with you. They think they know you. I have a lovely time with people. I don't get any horrible things said to me or anything yet. I haven't done anything too extreme yet. So, I get a great reaction, usually.
And without giving anything away, not that you could, Nelly, can you tease what kind of a tone people can expect from Fair City this Christmas?
Well, for Sharon, she's still grieving her husband, Anto, because he was just murdered there 2 months ago. We're going to scatter his ashes in the morning time, which will be emotional enough. And then we're not really doing Christmas, but we end up having Christmas with the Rafferty's, which is very strange. And you have Hayley and James kind of squabbling over the baby and access. And yeah, so it's kind of family squabbling for me, really.
And
I'm not in the centre of anything. Okay. I'm not at the centre.
Okay. But you'll have a big audience for that for sure.
It is. It's an hour long. I don't think there's ads on Christmas Day. Yeah. So yeah, I think everyone gathers around and watches it. We get a lot of people watch Fair City, like.
Oh, absolutely. It's a big, big ratings winner.
Even though they say they don't.
They pretend they don't, but they all know what's happening all the same.
They're too cool. Yeah.
Nelly, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Happy Christmas, Nelly. And the same to you as well, Scott. Thank you both for joining us. And as I say, Fair City's on this evening. And as Nelly said there, there'll be a 1-hour special on Christmas Day on RTE1.